It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's starting to get a little warmer. It's great. Had a little bit of extra stuff this morning. A house was burning down in our area. Had to take a long way around, and we were kind of running back and forth trying to keep the service moving in the morning. And I just thanked all those people who were helping out during that time. That was very good. We come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to celebrate His resurrection. Good Friday, some of you were here and some of you weren't. Good Friday, when we were talking about what happened there, you know, death of Christ is what people focus upon. When He goes to the cross and dies for us, He takes our place on the cross. We should be on the cross, right? We should die for our own sins, but Jesus took our sins on Himself, and He died in our place. And so usually when I'm thinking about, well, death, and so I'm going, well, you know, that's not a positive thing. What's to celebrate? I'm going, you know, usually death has to do with loss, has to do with defeat. And so I'm kind of wondering, but as you really look at the cross and what happened there, see, all the mocking and all that, even from the temptation when Jesus started his ministry, those temptations from Satan, He didn't want Jesus to take the hard road. And He certainly didn't want Jesus staying on that cross. See, they were mocking Him to jump on down. Come on down. Show yourself. Save yourself. See, that would have been a defeat for Jesus if He did that, because He knew what His mission was, to die in our place. So Jesus stayed on the cross, and through His death on the cross, it wasn't a defeat for Him. It was a defeat of Satan and his plans. See, that cross is a triumphal victory for Jesus and for us, because He defeated everything that Satan was trying to do, trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. So the victory is there. And today, we come on Easter morning to celebrate not just this victory, but we are actually declaring that victory that happened on Good Friday. We're declaring it through our witness, through our singing, through our lives. Today we're looking at John 20, and we're looking at there, my peace I give to you. And that's a saying that they use often in those ancient times, and even today they say shalom to one another. It's a nice greeting to give. Today we're going to look at that a little bit closer, looking at the meaning of this resurrection and of this peace. Where does it come from? How do we get it? We're going to be taking a look at that today. Let's pray before we go on. Lord, Creator of the universe, we praise You for Your word. We praise You for all You have done for us. Though we were still enemies, You died for us. That's how great Your love is for us. Thank You for this time that we can share together and to come and to be with You, to remember, to declare the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a precious gift that is. We pray that You bless this time, bless these words, to where You will open hearts and minds and draw people to Yourself and people closer to Yourself, transforming us to be more like You. May Your name receive all the glory and praise. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. First thing you look at there in verse 19, what's happening? Did you notice? The disciples are in lockdown mode. See, what happened there on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Understandably, right? Because you know what happened. They were following Jesus. They were going all over the place with him. He was doing many miracles, teaching about the kingdom of God. People were repenting. People were being saved. People were being raised from the dead. And all of a sudden, it stopped. The Jewish authorities took him with the Romans' help. And they crucified their Lord. And seeing that, don't you think that you would also be hiding? If they killed the leader, you know those followers are next. So they shut that door, and they're sitting there, probably in darkness, hiding, hoping that the Jewish authorities don't come breaking through that door and taking them to the cross. See, they abandoned Jesus. They deserted him. They could have went to the cross with him, but they didn't. See, when they're sitting there, I could just sense it, even from my own experiences, even from the lockdown experience that I had. Can't go and teach anymore. Can hardly even go shopping anymore. And of course, there was no toilet paper to buy anywhere for a while. Precious, precious resource there. But all of that, I felt empty after a while. I felt directionless. I can see that they must have been feeling even worse. They're probably feeling hopeless that their leader is gone. They're probably saying to themselves or one another, but I really hope that Jesus would, but then the words fall off and fade out. Or they start thinking about the things they did. I left Jesus. I abandoned him. I betrayed him. I denied him. The shame, the regret, the guilt piling up, causing them to spiral into a darkness, a depression. They didn't know what to do. But one thing you have to understand, with Jesus, there's always hope. See, as you read on, they're in fear behind those locked doors. Then what? Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm throwing a little pity party in my own room, maybe I had some other people with me, and then somebody pops up out of the blue and you thought this guy was already dead. I mean, I don't know about you, but my hair would be standing on end straight up like Don King, if you know who I'm talking about. All right? I'd be going, oh, you know, what is this? Who is this? And then actually, if you look at the Luke's version at this time, I think it was in chapter 24, they thought he was a ghost. They didn't know. Jesus, to restore them, what does he do? Because it's a very tense situation. I mean, they might be running outside before long, right? Jesus knows their hearts. He knows where they're at. And he says this, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So he was appealing to their natural senses, human senses, sight, sound, touch, smell. They probably even touched his side. Are you real, Jesus? Maybe Jesus put his hand on their heads that time just to bless them, just to reassure them that he is real, that he is alive. It's amazing that when he restores us, he comes to us in a way that we can actually touch and feel and see. Restoring. And it must have worked, because as time went on after that, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So they must have gone, oh, yes, it's Jesus. He's alive. I can even picture that. I can't picture it. It's hard for me to even imagine what joy must have been happening at that time. And Jesus could see their hearts. And he can see that they're ready for more, because he restored them. He gave them hope. He gave them love. In fact, at that time, I don't know about you, but if somebody that I deserted and I denied and I betrayed came into my room, you know what I'd expect? I'd expect that guy would either slug me or he'd point his finger at me and say, "You left me." Accusing me, condemning me for my sin. He didn't do that, did he? Rather than that, he shows him his scars. He shows him his side. And that word of peace be with you, as he spoke that first time, and I think the second time when he says there in this next verse, I think it has a meaning. It's like, we're all right. You're all right. I forgive you. I know you. I love you. More than you can even understand. I died for you, and now I come back for you to restore you, and now to give you a task. See, Jesus just doesn't just have us sit around. He restores us for a reason. That peace he gives us, it's we're right with God now. Not because of what we did. You know, we did. We betrayed. We denied. We sinned. But Jesus went on the cross for us. Now the Father in heaven, who is holy, and he cannot have any sin before him, or it will burn up. If any of us on our own went before God the Father, we would be consumed by that holy fire. Jesus put on God the Father put on his Jesus glasses. Now, after the cross. See, Jesus became the one who was sinless. He became sin for us. The sin wasn't nailed to the cross. It was placed on him who was nailed on the cross for us. Wow. That's love. That's love. While we're still enemies, he died for us. So he restored us with his forgiveness. He restored his disciples with his forgiveness and that unfailing love. And then he goes further, because he says this. He says, again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Because now that peace is more. He's saying, you know, everything is done and finished and completed. It's perfect. You don't have to worry about this anymore. You don't have to carry that burden with you anymore. It's a race. Remember Friday night? We listed those sinful things we do and some consequences of it, and we just took the eraser and just wiped them off that board. That's what Jesus does with our sin. So we confess it before him with a true heart. It's gone. He doesn't go, "Oh, but John, I remember back there in 1980, you did this and that." He doesn't do that. It's gone. It's confessed. It's wiped out. It's gone. It's no longer a burden unless we want to try to carry ourselves. Then we're just going back the other way. Now, Jesus says, I got something for you guys. Listen to this. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. See, now we are his feet and hands. We are Jesus going out. We are his messengers. We are the people who have the ministry of reconciliation to hold it out to others. This peace that he spoke into their lives, they spoke in other lives, all the way down to us who are sitting here today. Over 2,000 years of carrying that torch of peace. Peace that comes through the cross alone. Peace that is not man-made, and it doesn't last just for a little bit, where we can have peace, you know, go off in the mountains or go off in a quiet area and stuff. You can have some peaceful times, but it's not long-lasting or everlasting peace the way that Jesus can give. Now, this is a peace that transcends all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace that the storms of life cannot break down. This is a supernatural peace that when I felt, sometimes when I've been out, like when we were in Thailand, sometimes I went to some pretty dangerous places, very dark places, evil places, spirits moving around, people can see them. Those people are gifted with a spiritual sense and eyesight. They can actually see demons. I actually saw one. They're real. But you know what? Even in that, I felt a peace. Even in that craziness, that fright, you know, that fight or flight feeling, you know, when you become fearful, I felt peace. And it wasn't for me. I was hanging out on a limb. It's from God. He made everything right. Everything was good. Good for you, good for me. So he gave him a mission to go. As he sent, see, he spent all that time with the Father. See, Jesus didn't do anything on his own. See, he prayed to the Father. He talked to the Father, right? So the Father gave him the plan. He says, well, you're going here, and you're saying this, and you're doing this. And so we are to do the same. We're to go with him. So as he keeps on going on, he says, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Jesus shows himself to be the Creator God, the Creator of the universe. See that breath that he breathed? If you go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse 7, God had man created out of the dust. And what did he do? He breathed life into his nostrils. And that creation became a living being. Same thing here. He breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples, so they can carry out the work. They couldn't do it on their own. Jesus knew that they're still man, and they're going to fail, and they're going to have issues. We all do. We all have a conflict going on inside of us, a war between the Holy Spirit and our own sinful nature. It goes on. I don't know about you, but I deal with it every day, every moment. There's decisions to make throughout the day. Follow Christ or follow myself? That's what Adam and Eve had to choose. See what happened? The corruption of man, corruption of this world. People say, well, where all these problems come from? Talk to Adam and Eve. That's where it began, with the enemy accusing, tempting, deceiving. That's what he does. See, if Satan came in there, into that room, he'd be accusing and condemning and taking us down. He wants us dead. Jesus, totally opposite. He wants us to have life, life to the full. So he breathes that Holy Spirit and empowers his people, his disciples, a little group in a Roman Empire that's trying to stamp out anything that sets itself up against it. And that, from that little group, just think of it, from that little group of 11 at that time, grew to 12, kept on going. And look what it is today. And there's been so many kingdoms trying to stamp out Christianity all over the world. And all it does is when they stamp, the harder they're stamped, the faster the church grows. Because it's not man-made. It's not a ghost. Jesus is real. His word is true. It's powerful. Encountering Jesus. So where do we get the peace? Well, we get it from Jesus. He's the source of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. No, he's not a ghost, though. When you go and tell your friends and family and others who don't know Christ yet, they'll go, you're talking about a fairy tale. He's a ghost. It's not real. And that Bible that you got there, it's a weird book. Where do you get that from? It's old. It doesn't mean anything today. See, they don't understand. They're blind, spiritually blind. They're dumb, spiritually dumb, deaf. They're chained. See, when Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you this authority to bind and loose, to forgive and not forgive, well, really, that's all in accordance with God's will. They can't do that on their own. There's a working there. But when they're speaking the good news, they're telling people about what Jesus did. He died for you, for me. Saved me. And he rose again on the third day. That is like these chains that are on us. The burden of the sin is on us. And when we hear that, we have the freedom of choice to respond. God did not make robots. We all have a choice to make. When we hear the good news, do we allow the chains to fall off and the burden to fall down off of our backs and follow Jesus, to ask for forgiveness and receive it, to invite him into our hearts and walk with him? Or do we just say, no, I like these chains. I like the burden because I'm going to do it on my own. I got to do it on my own. I'm going to be good enough. See, that's the burden that Jesus talks about. All those people, he says, all those who are weary and burdened. You know, those are all of us trying to do it on our own, trying to get to heaven on our own good deeds, on our own kingdoms that we build here on earth. It's not good enough. Then he says, no, take my burden on as light. Because I've already did this for you. I already died for you. I completed it. You don't have to work this. Your work is to believe. To believe and follow me. A gentle, humble Jesus. No trumpets. Did you notice that on the resurrection day? There weren't any trumpets blasting, going, burr, burr, Jesus is risen. No. See, he's still the same Jesus, humble in spirit. He walked behind Mary. And when he spoke to her, he said, Mary, she turned around. And there he was. He walked on a road to Emmaus, and two people were walking, and he joined them, and they just thought he was any other guy until he started teaching them about the word and breaking the bread, and her eyes were open. It's Jesus making fish on a fire. Disciples saw him eating and cooking. He's real. See, for us, we are to be real. We are to declare the realness of Christ. We can refer to creation, saying, oh, what a beautiful day the Lord has made. See, I know a lot of times, and I know our society, more and more, they want us to do this. Stop
saying the name of Jesus.
That's what the Pharisees were telling John and Peter when Peter gave his first sermon. They arrested him. He said, don't speak about the name of Jesus anymore. Oh, thanks for the challenge. We're going to do it more and more and more. They prayed for that fearlessness and boldness of preaching the good news. See, that's for us. See, when we talk about Jesus in our workplaces, in our families, with our neighbors, our classmates, we're offering them hope. See, our Jesus should be just in our vocabulary every day. Oh, yeah, I was driving on the road, and oh, my car was started going off the road on ice, and I could have hit the, I was going to go in a ravine and stop. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his protection. Praise the Lord for his provision. I lost my job during that lockdown. But God provided. Oh, I went over here. I was doing my best, my very best, and then I failed. But then somebody picked me up. I don't know who. Somebody gave me the spirit to keep going, persevering. Thank you, Jesus. See, we need to talk Jesus. We need to speak Jesus, the name of Jesus, over to people around us. We can't be backing off anymore and putting the mask on and shutting up. No, we are to proclaim Christ and the peace that we have in him, because I know there are many out there that need that peace. They're in emptiness. They're running around trying to do this and that. They're striving to make themselves good enough for whatever. It's not very peaceful. It's actually the opposite of peace. It's fear. And when we can't handle situations, that fear comes, that natural emotion, the fight or flight. Fear comes in there, and it can take us down. And it causes us to shut our mouths about Jesus. But Jesus says, no, I gave you the Holy Spirit. You got the tiger in the tank now. Get out there. Talk about me. Show people my nails and the pierced side. Show them through your words, through your actions, through your arm around this person and just listening to their story and reminding them that God is in your story. You might not see him, you might not hear him yet, but he's in your story because I see him, I hear him. I used to be like you, but I hear him. I hear him here. I hear him through my brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes I might even hear him in some special way or a dream. I see him. I see him, and sometimes when I look in the mirror, even though somebody go, oh, man, you're looking kind of rugged today. God's in it. His creation, every one of you, every one of us is special, uniquely made. Did you know that? Satan wants us to think the opposite, but you are all uniquely made for his glory, for us to worship him and enjoy him forever. Satan does not want us to do that. We need to show people Christ through our own actions, through our words, through our attitudes, through our thoughts. Pray. Speak peace of the Jesus over your family daily. Your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, oh, there's more. People come. Don't be afraid to speak the name of Jesus, because he's given us the victory. We live in victory. Sorry about the wrong scripture here. I forgot something. You know, when you're doing these things at 11 at night, after watching King Kong and Godzilla fight, Wow. All right, sometimes you miss some things. So that's supposed to be John 16, verse 33. This is from the message. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Listen to this. It says, Jesus answers them, "Do you finally believe? In fact, you're about to make a run for it." So he knows their hearts. He knows who we are, right? "Saving your own skins and abandoning me." He knew that was going to happen. "But I'm not abandoned." He knows who he is, right? "The Father is with me." See, that's one thing we have to remember, too. The more we know Jesus, the more at peace we'll be. Knowing that who he is, and then we'll find out who we are more. And there's a peace that comes with that, that we don't have to strive and do all this and that anymore. All that is done. Continue on. "I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart. I've conquered the world." Jesus didn't get defeated. Satan took the defeat. And he's running with his tail between his legs. And there's a time when he's coming back with that trumpet blast, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and things will be made right even here on earth. Actually, a new earth and a new heaven will be made. And all those who call upon the name of Jesus and believe in him and follow him will be a part of his kingdom forever. Oh, I can't believe it. It's awesome. But it's not a ghost. It's not a fairy tale. It is the truth. And we must proclaim this. Let's take some time to pray together here. Father God, again, your word is powerful. Awesome. We have a Savior and a Lord. You're real. You have saved us by your grace. And that is only by faith. It is not by any works of man. No, it is by faith. It is a gift from you to us that man will not boast. It's all you. And that mysterious work of that faith, that connection between our freedom of choice and your love for us, saves us because of what Jesus did on a cross. He went all the way for us and completed his mission. And then he has given us a mission. Go and do the same. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the name of Jesus amongst others so that they can have those chains taken off. That they can live a life of peace, of hope, of truth, of purpose, and having an inheritance in a new kingdom, a new earth, a new heaven. Father, as we're praying together, I pray right now, Father, that if there's anyone here who has not received you into their hearts, as their personal Lord and Savior, if they have not confessed their sins before you and received a forgiveness that can come from you alone, I pray, Father, right now that you'll speak to their heart of hearts. And right where they're sitting, or if they want to come up to the altar here and we'll pray with them, but right now, as today is today, that person, those people, will say yes to you. I desire to hear those words. Peace be with you. Peace comes through the cross. Peace is in Jesus Christ alone. Peace that Christ gives is a peace that's everlasting. And no one can shut it down. And if there's anybody here who's been struggling with sin, who's been one of your own, but has fallen off the path, has gone astray, has forgotten all this, all you've done for them, Lord, Father, I pray that you'll speak to their hearts and right where they're sitting, or if they want to come up to the altar to recommit, it's here. They can come for you even now, today, this moment, and pray a prayer of confession, asking for forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, that they will feel that wonderful, loving forgiveness, that restoration that comes in Jesus Christ alone will abound to them, where they can start anew, get on your path. Let's take a minute to be quiet before the Lord. Talk with him. Good be before the Lord in silence, isn't it? You know, seriousness, solemnity, it's got its place. But you know what? This is a day that we are declaring our Christ has risen. There's a joy, there's a victory, and we are victorious in him together. May we go forth in that victory day to day. It's not just the Easter day. This is a day-to-day thing. We should be saying, he is risen. And other people around us should say, he is risen indeed every day of the week.